Ellsworth, you're a real nerd. But you're chin it to win it, aren't you? You even chinned, or should I say pinned, our old pal AJ Styles. But do you really think that's the way to make friends around here? Messing with the champ that runs the camp? Huh? I see you, pony boy. Keep that chin up.
You can't.
Hey!
Knock it off. Why are you picking on a little guy? Would you like it if I started making fun of you because you have bald heads?
Mick, we shave our heads.
Yeah, you know what, Mick? You're right. We'll leave the chintensity for the ring.
That's good. A little redundant. A little unnecessary. Okay, I'll take it from here.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Mr. Foley!
Yeah.
I've been a fan of you my whole life.
Thank you.
I mean, I remember sitting at home in my living room, jumping up and down, watching The Undertaker toss you off.
Wait, hold on, hold on. No, he threw me off. Tossing means something different in some parts of the world, kid, okay?
Right.
Hey, Mick, it's a PG product, for God's sake. Jeez, welcome to episode 112 of the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network, a podcast that, as always, talks about professional wrestling. On this episode, our thoughts on the results of both NXT TakeOver Toronto and Survivor Series, a report on ICW's Fear and Loathing 9 from Sunday night, and maybe a wee something else. But first of all, let's see who we've got on the panel this week. Well, he hosted last week's show using an old shoebox and a string for a microphone. It's Kai.
I will admit now that the problem was with headphones, and they have been replaced as they completely gave out on the Thursday. So
I will say you are sounding better at the moment.
Well, I'm currently not using any headphones at all, so maybe that's the way to go from now.
Yeah, well, let's see how long that holds off. Before doing that thing where you're holding your iPad at a funny angle beside your head and you look rather silly to anyone walking past.
I will confirm I am getting a new laptop over the Christmas period, so hopefully I will be able to get a new mic as well and sort that out. So hopefully into the new year, it will be a brand new quality from me.
Wow, I'm very impressed. I am very impressed. In fact, let's bring in the second man on the panel. You just heard his little tone there. He's on with us for a short while tonight, so we're going to make the most of it. Kiwi Tuts.
Ah, hello. Good evening to you all. How are you doing?
We're good.
Yes, you? Very well. Actually, I must admit, that opening clip that you played at the start, I could not believe what I heard. And it's nice to know that Mick Foley's on my wavelength now. So,
Mick, call him.
Or me, you know, you want to. He's so tall, though. I mean, I'm 6 foot two, but yeah. Foley's like 6 foot five. And on telly, he doesn't look like that tall at all.
That's because of his big arched back that he has half the time.
Yeah, the real life Quasimodo, minus the Frenchness.
Of course. Right, we've got one more man on the panel, and he's currently working on a new TV show called Sticks of the Wrestling Trays. It's Adam.
That is not a thing.
I'll make it happen.
But it will be this time next year.
Yeah, I'm at Channel 4 tomorrow. I'll bring it up.
It's a great idea. Sticks of the Wrestling Trays.
Why not?
I think it's got so much scope. Anyway, how are you?
Why has it got scope? Because I'm doing it.
Like, yeah.
Nice. It's awesome. There we go. Took your time.
I got the reference. I'm just let's just keep this going before we get too bogged down in that.
No selling it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
How rude.
No, I know, right? Hate crime. All is good.
Oh, it's so good to have a panel again.
I know, I've missed this. It's been great. I've had, like, no innuendos. I haven't drunk Jägermeister for 3 weeks.
You'll be lucky I'm only sticking around for the next 45 minutes, so...
You can still do a lot of damage in 45 minutes, Kiwi.
There's a lot of innuendo you can do in 45 minutes, let's be honest.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, okay. Watch out.
Anyway, so this week we're going to chat about the big shows we had on over the weekend, and that is NXT TakeOver Toronto Survivor Series. And of course, I also mentioned that we've got a report on ICW's Fear and Loathing 9 from Sunday night in Glasgow. So we're going to have all of that. So let's not waste any time. Let's get onto the show. We've not got any emails, so we've got none of that to worry about. I did put tweets out, but nobody responded. Shame on you. And I don't want to get spoiled, so we're skipping the news. Anyway, so Who all has seen all of NXT TakeOver Toronto and all of Survivor Series so far? Kiwi?
Yes, me. I've seen
Adam?
It all.
I am well up to date.
Kai?
Yes.
So it's just me then. Just
the host.
Me this,
the host.
Two-thirds of the way through Survivor Series and had to stop because I've got a sick child at home and I've not had very much sleep, so I'm on a very high caffeine intake this afternoon to keep me on the ball for tonight. So let's see how long that lasts before it starts wearing off.
Sick child, you've made the list.
I need a "you've made the list" soundbite. That's a great idea. Right, okay, so let's get straight into it, and we'll start by looking at obviously NXT TakeOver first, and I thought another thoroughly good show with some particularly good matches. Kai, your overall thoughts?
Loved it. It was ace. I've never sat through an NXT TakeOver show and gone, I didn't enjoy that.
No, exactly. As I say, another thoroughly good show. It's just one of these things, you just expect it from them because every time they go out, they deliver. Kiwi, your thoughts overall?
I concur with Kai's sentiments there. Another great takeover, some awesome surprises, some fantastic matches all the way through the card, and some compelling television and some interesting storylines going forward as well.
And also, Adam, I'm surprised to see Jim Ross sitting in the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you shot him before the camera did its close up in the first match. You saw him there just as like a panning shot. But yeah, I'm almost certain Triple H hooked him up with those tickets.
Yeah.
But really, really good event. How good are the Toronto crowd?
I thought they were absolutely on fire. It's one of the things I've got in my notes, to be honest.
What would you give them out of 10, Ian?
What would I give them out of 10? I'd have to give them 10, 10, 10. Is that what you were looking for, Adam?
Yes, it was.
A glorious 10?
Yes, you could say it was a glorious 10. I mean, in fact, my very first note was about the choir, but then Canadian crowd on fire was my second note that I made. So yeah, that's definitely a high point was the crowd on the night. Kai, were you as happy with the crowd as we were?
Yeah, of course. Because the crowd.
So Canada. So far, you're not on the list. That's a good thing. Right. Okay. So let's quickly just run through everything. And Kai, we'll go through each match, and if you can do the picks to each. After we've kind of chatted through them. First up, obviously, we opened with Bobby Roode and Ty Dillinger. And my first note on here was having the choir for Roode was superb. A great entrance for him. It really, really set the tone for the rest of the show. I thought Dillinger looked really good in defeat, but, you know, very dejected at the end. Could this be the start of a heel turn for him? Just a question mark on that. Adam, your thoughts on that opening match?
How over is Bobby Roode's theme music.
It's the most over thing in the most over world in the over universe.
I don't want to curse this by what I'm about to say, but I can't remember someone's theme music being over this much since Fandango years ago.
I hope
this goes a better way.
To be honest, Kiwi, Adam Rose's was fine until they changed it. It was great until they changed it.
That's a good point, actually. Sorry about that.
Adam Rose, what a lemon. But it's like,
nice one.
So it's like great entrances. The crowd were on fire. Yeah. And it's they sung along with that, and they also sang along with Shinsuke's theme towards the end for quite a while.
Yeah.
And just when they were both in the ring, just and normally I hate this when the crowd starts going, this is awesome, before anyone's done anything. It's like, you know, it might suck. It might be over in like a minute 20 or something, you know. But
but I think the atmosphere was there just from the entrance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was like an Undertaker-esque entrance that Bobby Roode did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's jump to Kai. And Kai, what do we have on the pick sheet for this one?
We have, this was a lot of people going for Rude. Everyone went for Rude except for Hallmark, who lost a plus five on going with Ty Dillinger. Oh,
he's a big time mark, unfortunately.
And he's on our team. No, he's on our team. I don't care who he likes. He's on our team. That's what bothers me.
Yep, I agree.
Biohazard went with plus two for Ty Dillinger as well. And Heavy Set went high. So that's three guys down. This is kind of like our Survivor Series here, us versus the Rapcast.
Yes.
On this first match, we won.
Yes!
But I will point out that we are, there was quite a few plus fives. Plus five from Kata, Carp, Old School, DRG, Katie, myself. Adam went with plus five. Kiwi went with plus five. Legend, you only went with plus four.
Yeah, I was trying to do something else and it all backfired. But anyway, I wasn't thinking it through properly. But anyway, shit happens. But plus four, I'll take plus four. Don't get me wrong, I'll take plus four, especially when you've got Bio taking up a minus two. Let's go into the second match. And it's obviously the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Tournament Final. We've got Paul Ellering suspended in a cage above the ring. I'm assuming that the whole point of this was to sell the crash cage that was sponsoring Survivor Series. But anyway, we've got the Offers of Pain versus TM61. And I'll do my feedback last on this. I'm going to come to Kai for your thoughts on this match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I thought it was... I'm still a bit iffy about the Authors of Pain, but I think that they could turn into a decent tag team. I really like TM61. And just a little side note on the type of match, and I know you mentioned about how there's that playset currently out with the ring. That was actually advertised at a convention back, I think it was closer to WrestleMania, to be honest, and it said, as seen on NXT TakeOver. So they've actually been planning it for that long.
Right, okay. They probably didn't know who was going to be in it, but they probably had somebody in line that they were going to find no matter what to fit into that role.
Yeah.
And Paul Ellering really fits it. I mean, because my thought was, not knowing what you just said, my thought was I wonder if it was Paul Ellering that came up with it until the next night when I saw that they were promoting the Crash Cage on Survivor Series. So I was like, okay, it's just typical promotion then.
Good idea, though. Good marketing.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Quick run through my thoughts. A really, really good jump from the structure by Shane Thorne. I thought that really worked really well. Great show of strength by Nick Miller. That guy was really throwing those big guys about. Quite impressive to see. Great double team work by TM61 as well. But I thought that considering how young they are as a team, Offers of Pain look good for the type of team that they are. Yes, they're going to be slower. Yeah, they're all about their size and bulk. But they're starting to build them, and that's what they need, is to get that bit of building to get where they need to go. And winning this tournament was the right thing for them. They needed that win, as far as I'm concerned. Kai, what does the sheet say?
The sheet says that it was a little bit more split. Everyone going with Authors of Pain and Heavy Set getting a plus five, DRG getting a plus five, Old School getting a plus five, plus three from yourself, Legend, plus five from Kiwi, and a plus five from Hallmark. So he got that plus five back that he lost earlier. But there are a couple of people who went with TM61. Biohazard lost a plus two on that. Carp.
Yes.
Adam and PK went with TM61.
Well, I don't like the Authors of Pain. They look like two walruses hugging all the time.
They're
not as agile.
I tell you what, about the Authors of Pain, I really want the Authors of Pain to work, for the simple reason is I love the idea that they've just brought Paul Ellering back and they're using these legends as managers, and I want it to work so that they might do it with someone else, or that that Paul Ellering sticks around. I just like the idea of this sort of thing. It feels a little bit more old school.
Yeah, I have to agree. I was watching the match and I was thinking about what are their names? Akam and Razar, or whatever they're called, the Offers of Pain. And Seamus was in that Turtles movie playing, was he Rocksteady or Bebop? I can never remember. But those two guys really are the human versions of Rocksteady and Bebop.
And that one's a pig and one's a rhino. Yeah, I can get that.
No, but even physically, you could see them in that role. Just give them a couple of horns and such, like, and Bob's your uncle, sorted.
They look like,
don't talk too much.
They look like the Big Boss Man's kids, basically. Don't they? With what they're wearing, it's just like all I can do. But the finish is a bit naff too. It's very much like the high low that the Ascension do, even though we don't get to see it very often because they don't get to win. But
didn't the Bashams used to do the same move?
Yeah, ooh. I think they did actually. And then look,
good
what
reference.
And yeah, you're right. Like, their gear is awful. Like the first time I saw them, I was like, "Fuck me, the shield are put on white."
But it's I just think it's a waste. I think they could do something a bit more impactful and use their stature and their strength to a better advantage rather than running at one another and doing a clothesline from hell, you know?
I mean, one of the things is they are still very green. They've got a bit of a long kind of run of growth to go yet, and that'll come with time. They're in NXT for that very reason. I see no plans to put them up anytime in the next 8 months, 9 months.
Oh,
let's just use that time to build them, teach them well, let them learn the ropes properly and get the flow and fluidity that they need as a team.
Yeah, let them show what the beauty they possess inside, you know, that. Did you see what I did there? Yeah.
Chill out, Katie Piper, Jesus.
Anyway, let's move on to our third match of the night, our 2 out of 3 falls tag team match for the NXT Tag Team Championship. We've got DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, and the Revival, Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson. And the man that's going to be telling us his thoughts on this match is none other than Kiwi Tuts, because I'm sure he'd love to chat about Johnny.
Oh, I do. And also Dash Wilder, and he's liked a tweet I sent him about how good his ass looks. So I just thought I'd drop that in there. But I loved, again, obviously, I think we all agree, I love this match. It's a bit predictable that it would go 2-1. I mean, I don't know any other 2 out of 3 falls match that has gone 2-0. It's just
Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit in Manchester for the gold medals. Benoit won it 2-0.
Oh, this bonus is very rare.
Very rare. So that was what, 2000 and what, one?
They're all thereabouts.
About that time, wasn't it? They had their WrestleMania match 17. Anyways, yes. So Johnny Gargano plays the guy who needs all of, you know, needs to tag. He plays the, what you call it, the guy who needs to tag, the, you know, helpless.
You know, right, okay, I get what you mean. The one that gets beaten to a pulp and needs that hot tag to get out.
Yeah, exactly. And Tommaso Ciampa just goes around there and slaps them all and, you know, and does his stick. So, and a perfect place for a tag team match, the perfect connectivity that they have, the pair of them, and it just worked so wonderfully. And I'm chuffed to see DIY win the tag titles. Now, what happens to the Revival? Do they stick around now for a little bit? But do they go for the tag titles again? You never know. But knowing that there's lots of tag teams going up now, and being created in NXT, is there a gap for them on the main roster? Who knows?
One of the things for me is the Revival have shown that they've made all the steps they needed to take to get themselves ready for going over to Raw or SmackDown, whichever it happens to be. It's just a matter of time now. How long that is, I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be that far off, let's be honest.
No, because they're ready, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right.
A few other short notes. I thought I really liked the Heart Foundation style trunks on the Revival.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Great teamwork by both teams. I thought both of them were working solidly all the way through. And then my next note was, oh, commentary team referencing the trunks. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah.
We knew this was going to be a good match, but what a great fun match it was. Makes sense that Revival get the first pin. And then I've got Ring Bell Botch, which obviously the start of the second pin, the ring bell didn't ring, even though the referee signaled for it. So did that second pinfall really happen? Oh. Anyway, and a nice move with a heart attack in there as well, I've got.
Oh, yeah. The crowd recognised it eventually, I think, didn't they?
Absolutely. Good to see that. Okay, Kai, going to the sheet, what have we got?
We have got, most people have gone with DIY. Biohazard put a plus 5 on it. Kata put a plus 3. I put a plus 5. Adam put a plus 5. And then the only people who have gone with Revival there were Ceramic Samurai, GBL, Mop, and Katie. So that was kind of even. If we're talking Survivor Series between WrestleCast and the European Uppercut, that was an even match.
But I'm quite impressed. I'm doing quite well so far. It can only go downhill.
Oh, yes, and it will. I've not even looked at yours.
I just know from history that it's likely to go downhill if I start well. Anyway, let's just get into our fourth match of the night, and it's the return of Mickie James to face off against Asuka for the NXT Women's Championship. And I don't know about anybody else, but I really enjoyed this match. 13 minutes long, but it held me the whole time, start to finish. I thought Mickie James was looking great in there, played off Asuka really well, and I don't think this is the last we're going to see in Mickie James, especially in NXT. Adam?
I had forgotten how attractive Mickie James is until she came out, and I was like, that's amazing. And then I got a hankering for beef out of nowhere. But no, really, really good match.
That's disgusting.
What?
Anyway, I
like beef. What you want? Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that. I'd do that as well. Alternate lifestyle, Kiwi. Alternate lifestyle.
Hey, moving along.
Sorry.
Moving on. Really good match. Like, really good. Because I think the women's division's a bit shaky at the moment. I don't know who's going to be the one that beats Asuka.
Yeah.
But they both did really, really well. At one point, I thought Mickie James might be unconscious, but she just sold it really well.
Yeah.
But they're very impressed. And it was in the right position as well.
Absolutely,
on the card.
I do agree. Yeah, yeah. It was in the perfect position on the card. Nice to see the Mutalok, although I felt that it was a little bit funny getting it locked in at first. And to answer your question, Adam, who is going to be Asuka? I've got one person in mind that I think could be the person to do that. And it's someone who would excel well with that win, and that's Ember Moon.
Oh, yeah. She's...
I reckon that's where they're building it up to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her finish is amazing. That
love it.
Top rope twisting Stone Cold Stunner is just ridiculously cool.
A career shortener, because that's going to really mess up her spine over time, but hey, it looks good.
She'll be fine.
Yeah. She'll be fine. Okay, Kai, the sheet, please.
The sheet? Well, this was a really easy one, in fact, because everyone went with Asuka. Everyone got it correct.
Where were the bets?
Plus fives for Heavy, Katie, Biohazard got a plus one, plus five for DRG, Double A, Old School, Carp, you got a plus five, you get a plus five.
Yeah!
Plus five. Everybody gets a plus five.
Yay!
Adam and Kiwi, you didn't risk plus five on this.
Did we not?
No.
Don't!
No, which, as we'll learn later, was a mistake.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, Adam, put it this way, you did a lot better on NXT than you did on
the podcast. Oh, don't even get me started. I
spoilers for Ian.
I don't want to spoil it for you, Ian, but my predictions on Survivor Series resemble the Greek economy.
All I'm going to say is,
you stupid idiot!
Aww.
I'll take that. I deserve that.
Anyway, I just can't say that how much I enjoyed that match enough. It was probably the second best match of the night, with probably Rude Dillinger taking third. I don't know, there's so many good matches. I just really enjoyed this card, which means there's still only one match left to talk about. And it was another great match, and a single match for the NXT Championship. Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke defending, and Samoa Joe takes that title. Kai, your thoughts?
I'm not going to lie, until I'd looked at the sheet, I'd completely forgotten that Samoa Joe had taken it. And that's not a slight on this match. It was a great match, and it was a shocking ending. I'd just completely forgotten about it. Yeah, I just remember watching it and going, fuck, I didn't didn't expect that. So Joe's going to be sticking around a little bit longer in NXT.
Yeah.
And I like it that, I like it that this is happening, that we're seeing more title changes, more people, because it was seeming at a point where, and you can see why they do it, but people will have a title change, they'll drop it, and then they'll go up to the main roster. It's cool that people can go up to the main roster now and go, I held the NXT championship twice, which is, or three times, or, you know, it's cool to be able to say that, and a lot of people lost a lot of points, but I'm sure you'll come to that in a second.
Well, you may as well just go straight into it.
Right. Wow. Well, Heavy lost a plus five. Katie lost a plus five. Biohazard lost a plus five. Double A lost a plus five. Carp lost a plus five. Kata also lost a plus five. You lost a plus two, Legend. But you also had an unscheduled sanity appearance, which lost you a plus one as well. I lost a plus five, Adam lost a plus five, PK lost a plus five, Ceramic Samurai lost a plus five, and Hallmark lost a plus five. So if we all lose
shows you.
If we all lose plus fives, does it really matter?
I didn't hear my name though.
No, you didn't lose a plus five, Kiwi. You were one of the few.
I didn't lose a plus five. I only lost a plus two on that and my plus one, so it's only plus three overall. Anyway, yeah, that's not surprising, really, because I think we all felt that Shinsuke was going to get a longer title run than he did, but just adds to the tension heat between the two. I saw someone say on Twitter the other day they felt that that means that Nakamura's going to move over to either Raw or SmackDown sometime soon. I don't think so. I think there's another match down the road for these two very soon.
There's already two more booked in. They've got the rematch in Japan.
Right.
And then I've got a cage match in Australia, both of which are being taped.
Good. Good. That's exciting. I like the sound of that. That bodes well. So, you know, for a card that only has five matches, those were five fantastic matches overall. Another great takeover. And I can't say, without even using superlatives and exaggerating how much I loved this more than I should, it was just a great show overall. And I never skipped a single minute of it. Kiwi, your thoughts overall?
Overall, again, just brilliant. So well staged, so well, captivated in the run-up towards it. I think Mickie James, I hope she sticks around at least. Samoa Joe winning the title is great. Like, I completely agree with what you just said. I think they've definitely still got more steam in that boat there. To have another one at NXT in San Antonio, by the looks of it, Royal Rumble week, and I just NXT is in a good place at the moment. I think they've started to recover things, because between this last weekend and Brooklyn's takeover, it was looking a little bit skeptical on how things were looking, but I mean, things aren't quite right yet in the women's division. They still need work with Ember Moon, of course.
Yes.
And I hope Mickie sticks around to give him some tuition on screen, on TV. And start building this up. But I'm quite scared because I see Peyton Royce and Billy Kay as the new sort of lay cool. So if Mickie's going to stick around and they end up doing some type of bullying thing like they did with Piggy Mickey, you remember back in the days of SmackDown in 2009. Oh, horrible.
Is that 2009? Jeez, where does the time go?
Yeah, I'm sure it was 2009, 2008, something like that. It was horrible time for the women's division back then, or the Divas division back then.
So it must have been 2008 because they said it was 8 years since she was last in WWE.
Ah, well, there you go then. Yes, because she was in TNA 2009. Yeah, that's right.
That adds up.
Good point, Ian.
There you go. I do get them right sometimes, but what if it actually goes the other way? She actually sides with the two of them.
Ooh.
That might be more interesting.
Yes, because we haven't seen a heel Mickie James in WWE since the whole Trish Stratus lesbian angle, you know.
Absolutely.
And then she's been faced all the way, obviously, since. So
yeah,
and then TNA, we've seen it, of course, but didn't feel right, did it? But it's nice to know that Mickie James survived being pushed under a train, don't you think?
That's very true.
was the last time we saw her on TV. James Storm pushed her under a train.
Yep, that was her debacle and a half.
Oh, terrible.
There's a Croydon reference there, but I'm going to leave it.
Oh, I think it's probably best to.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
So we're going to go on from there to start chatting about Sunday Night Survivor Series, and I'm going to put this on the line here right now. We're going to go so far through this, then I'm going to drop off the call for a little bit so the guys finish, because due to having my sick chair, as I mentioned earlier on, I didn't get to see the last two matches, and I want to try and get through them without finding out the results in advance. So we'll go through the card until that point, and then we'll have me just drop off, and then I'll come back in a little bit after that. First of all, before we go into that, I'm going to come to you, Adam. Overall, your thoughts before we start. Did you enjoy Survivor Series this year?
I really did. If you went into this thinking Survivor Series isn't Big Four,
yeah,
it's definitely Big Four now.
Yeah, absolutely right. To what I've seen, I've not finished it yet, and I totally agree with what you're saying. I really enjoyed everything up to the point that I've seen so far, and I was gutted I had to switch off when I did. Kai, your overall thoughts?
Just completely agree with Adam. I don't think there's anything else we can add to that.
Good, and I'm assuming you're going to say the same, Kiwi.
Yes, I mean, they've built up the Survivor Series now to a real pedestal with this, with all sorts of different results and quite a few that we didn't expect. Yep. So, and many outcomes that we didn't expect. So I'm really chuffed with this, and I'm glad that they're going to consider Survivor Series now after its 30th anniversary has cemented its place as one of the Big Four.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it's just struck me, Kai, that we didn't do the... Did we do the results to the Samoa Joe Shinsuke Nakamura match in terms of the picks?
We did, but I did not get a chance to say one thing, and that's that DRG was the only person who went with Samoa Joe.
Oh,
interesting.
Clever man.
Everyone else went with Nakamura and lost big time.
Right, okay, let's say thanks for that. Let's jump straight back to what we're chatting about. So, quickly, we didn't do any picks for the kickoff match because we didn't know what those were going to be. But I'll just quickly run through what we had there. We had a six-man tag team match, TJ Perkins, Rich Swann, and Noir versus Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, and Arya Divari, the other Divari, as I call him. It was a fun six-man tag team match from Cruiserweights, no more, no less than I particularly expected for a kickoff show. I'll take it for what it was. It was fine. We also had Kane versus Luke Harper in a match that makes no difference to the rest of the world that, you know, because I've done without.
No, me and Sam would disagree. Thank you.
But, you know, yes, Kane got a win. But, you know, other than that, it didn't really do much to further anybody's stories.
No, but I think Kane has got a clean record at Survivor Series, if I remember rightly now.
And does tie him for the most appearances on Survivor Series, is that right, if I remember right?
Yeah.
It's 16, I think.
16, yeah, with Shawn Michaels, I think.
Yeah, well. I think that's right, yeah. But that's all good. I have to say, I absolutely laughed my belly off at the segment with Phil, a.k.a. Tom Phillips, and Owens and Jericho. I just thought that was a brilliant segment. I was laughing so hard.
About time Tom Phillips did something interesting.
It wasn't him that was making it funny, though, was it?
No, exactly.
But no, I really enjoyed that wee segment. It was great. And let's just get straight into the main card, though. Let's not waste any more time. So we opened with a 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series elimination match from the women. I've got Team Raw, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Alicia Fox, Nia Jax with Dana Brooke versus... originally planned to be Nikki Bella, but somebody took out Nikki Bella before the match. She was replaced with Natalya, Carmella, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, and Becky Lynch. And it's a win for Team Raw. So that sets the fires burning in the red cap to start the show off. Kiwi, your thoughts on the opening match?
Yeah, it was a nice chance and a nice opportunity to do something different with the SmackDown team, having Nikki Bella being attacked in the backstage. Yeah. But it was almost predictable. As soon as you saw Nikki on the floor in agony, you're like, well, obviously Natalia's going to come out and get a huge pop. So, and quite rightly so. And I think it was daft not to put her in there in the start. But then I sort of understand that they're probably wanting that reaction and they were going to do what they were going to do to further, by the looks of it, Carmella versus Nikki Bella.
And is it, as I'm seeing it, that it's obvious that Natalia was the perpetrator of the attack?
I know Natalia's a heel now, isn't she? But
yeah,
the storyline is with Carmella. But that is a good possibility, though, that, you know, Carmella could be the scapegoat for Natalia. Yeah.
Natalia gets her way to get into the match in Canada, you see.
Which makes sense.
Yep, that's the way I see it. Okay, let's go to the sheet and Kai.
Yes, the sheet for this match was... it's the women's match, and it was... Sorry, I've got a bit
distracted. We established that, thank you.
Just keep talking, fill the gap.
Yep, just keep talking. That's normally what I do. Right, so we most people went with Raw and got it correct. Well, most people on the WrestleCast side, at least. However, over here on the European Uppercut side, we had a couple of people let us down. That was Ceramic Samurai, PK, and one Kiwi Tuts, who went with SmackDown. So everyone else went with Raw. I picked up a plus +5 on it. Legend, you picked up a plus +1.
Whoa!
Numero uno.
Get in. I'll take that, though. It's an extra point. I need all the points I can get.
Oh, this pay-per-view. Oh, my God.
I have not done well.
Well, we'll see more than that as we go through. I've not looked at the pick sheet at all. So
well, I'll tell you this, because this was, out of the ones that you've seen, Ian, this is the only one that Adam gets correct.
Did I put any points on it?
No.
A wise move, Adam.
One of the only things you didn't put points on.
Dude, this could be interesting.
I don't think I overstate this by going fuck. Like, seriously.
you're not the only person to get a minus on this pay per view, but you are the only person to get a minus in double figures.
Wow.
Yeah, it is not good.
You were doing pretty well as well, Adam. You were quite high up on the table.
I think I still will be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the first minus double figures since we started this at Payback.
So I'm in the record books, is what you're saying?
Yes,
it's an achievement.
I am the Hillary Clinton of the Trending Topics Network. I'll take it.
You stupid idiot!
That wasn't me, that was Jericho. He jumped in there all by himself. Anyway, let's move on to the second match on the card, and it's time for the Intercontinental Championship match. And obviously, now, before we get into this, there's one wee thing, right? This was set up as something that Ziggler wanted to do, was to put this match on to defend the title against someone from Raw. Surely Miz should have been complaining about having to defend his title that he'd only just won, that he didn't put up in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is he not? Because Miz is he's a mouthy guy. He likes to mouth off. Why is he not mouthing off at having to put that title up in the first place? He should have been. Anyway, so he's facing Sami Zayn, and another fun match. I really enjoy watching Sami Zayn at work. And Miz, just at the moment, he is absolutely gold. Love what he's doing. Give me more Miz. Imagine saying that a year ago. Adam.
Love the Miz. Loving the little Daniel Bryan digs that are still happening. Did I want Miz to win? No. But it was a good match. It added to the card more than it took away. And it's really building this Miz Daniel Bryan thing to the point where I think in the end Daniel Bryan's just gonna send him to Raw.
It's WrestleMania, isn't it?
Yeah,
we're going to get a Daniel Bryan one-off match.
I hope so, but I also equally hope not, because I don't want Daniel Bryan to die on the network.
we're all in the same boat. We're all in exactly the same boat, but that's what they're doing. It has to be. It just makes so much sense. Kai, what have we got in the sheet?
We have... Oh, this was very split in this one. I think it's about 50-50, actually. We're looking at Miz being picked correctly by Biohazard AA, Old School Carp, Kata, Yourself Legend, yes. Myself... Kiwi got a plus +5 on this.
Kiwi.
So did Hallmark as well. Hallmark
yes.
did quite well on the picks this time
as
well.
Oh, good lad.
When we look at the other side of things, and Ceramic Samurai went with Zane, as did PK, as did GBL. DRG lost a plus +5 on that. Mop. Katie and Heavy also going with Zane, and we look over to Mr. Tricks of the Restaurant Trade over there, and you lost a plus +3 on Zane this time.
Adam, what do you think you were doing?
I thought I was winning.
It doesn't matter what you think!
I think I speak for all of us legends when I say, fuck you.
You've had too much sugar, haven't you, Adam, in all of those lattes that you took from Costa and Starbucks?
Absolutely, Kiwi. And if Legend, if you think I'm above spoiling the last two matches for you, you are sadly mistaken.
I actually do think you're above that. So if you do, then I'll be sadly disappointed.
Not for the first time, let's be fair.
Yeah, let's be honest, yeah.
Oh dear.
Right, anyway, where were we? Adam, you were saying.
You've upset me now. Move on.
Okay, let's just get on to the next match on the card. And it's a 10-on-10 traditional Survivor Series tag team elimination match. How a 10-on-10 the senior traditional, I don't know. But obviously, we've got Team Raw made up of the tag teams of the New Day, Sheamus and Cesaro, Enzo Amore. Big cast, shining stars, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson against the team from SmackDown Live, Heath Slater and Rhino, the Hype Bros, American Alpha, Breezango and the Usos. Now, this was a bit of a busy match. We had two eliminations in the first few seconds of it starting, and that was right, okay, where are we going with this? Is it going to be a very short match, or are we actually going to get something that's a bit more worthwhile watching from that point on? But it actually was all right. It wasn't the greatest match in the card, but I thought it was a good, fun match overall. Kai, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a fun match. I enjoyed it. I thought that it was... I was very, very shocked when the... when we saw the Breezango elimination, I went, well, I can see why they did that.
And, yeah.
And then as soon as they eliminated the New Day, I went, oh, that's made this interesting. Because I think that's... Yeah. That's the brilliant thing about these types of pay-per-views. I don't care if I do shit on the predictions as long as the matches are just really, really interesting. And when you get these moments and you go, wow, that's caught me off guard. Someone who is sort of classes themselves as, commas around this, intelligent wrestling fan. So you do sort of sit there and go, well... I'm glad that they were able to trick me into thinking, well, New Day will get far in this.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the kind of match it was, all those different moving parts, it could have gone a whole lot messier than it actually did. So give them credit for trying to pull that together as well as they did. It was a win for Team Raw, and who got that right?
Well, for this one, we had a lot of people went with Team SmackDown, actually. Everyone went with Team SmackDown, including losing plus +5 from Katie. Plus +2 you lost on this one, Legend, as did Adam, losing plus +2.
I'd rather lose plus +2 than lose 2 than lose 5.
But the couple of people who got this right were Ceramic Samurai, PK, Kiwi, who got a plus +5
Nice one, Jimmy.
For that one, Mop got it as well. Biohazard got a plus +5, as did Heavy Set. So yeah, it was a good decision there. I actually changed my mind on this one during last week's show. I
remember,
because I had a plus +5 on this, which would have been quite good actually. But
but
to be honest, I'd have lost it on the other ones when I work it out that way. So. to be honest, it didn't really make that much of a difference that I changed most of my predictions.
Yep. Well, there is that. But let's move on then. We've got another couple of matches still to go before I have to disappear off for a little bit. We've got the Cruiserweight Championship match. Now, bear in mind that if Kalisto wins the title, the Cruiserweight division moves to SmackDown Live. Brian Kendrick defending against Kalisto. And I will say that the logic here, obviously, was that Kalisto was going to win that so that the Cruiserweight would be on SmackDown because the 205 Live is going to be airing straight after SmackDown. Well, if you believe that's how it's going to go, you're a fool like I am.
Me too.
Because just when you think that's going to come in, go on, Baron Corbin comes in, breaks up the match, and it's a disqualification in favour of Brian Kendrick holding on to his title. Who saw that coming? Kiwi.
Well, I certainly didn't at all. Though when it happened, I was like, oh, stupid. Of course. No. Oh, my God. I want to describe. I think it's not a disgrace, but I think this is probably the low part of the whole Survivor Series, where I wanted a decent, clean finish. Yeah. I knew that we probably weren't getting really well. Didn't necessarily have to be a clean finish, but I just wanted the two of them to be the decision makers. I didn't want somebody outside like freaking Baron face on my chest, belly, you know, Corbin to do that. So, yes, I wasn't particularly pleased, especially the fact that I lost in this match. So.
A lot of folk lost off in this match because of that. Let's take it to Kai and the picks as they are.
Yep, a lot of people, somebody up there, yeah, a lot of people lost points on this. But there were a couple of lucky ones. Hallmark got a +5 on Kendrick. I'll come back to that actually in a second. Ceramic Samurai went with Kendrick. I got a +5 on Kendrick. Double A went with Kendrick. And DRG went with Kendrick and got a +5 as well. Over the Miz and Kendrick matches, it was actually only myself, Hallmark, and Double A, Andy Anderson, which meant that which actually got both of those correct.
Right, okay, interesting.
And to be honest, when I saw that in the predictions before the show, and I went, I'm doing the same as Double A and Hallmark, I thought, fuck, I've got this wrong.
Anyway, on that note, we've got to say goodbye to Kiwi at this point. Kiwi, thank you for joining us for this portion of the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I'm devastated that I can't talk about the rest with you guys, but I will be listening back, obviously, as ever, and looking forward to it.
And just quickly tell folk where they can find you.
Oh, yeah, find me on Twitter at KiwiTuts, KiwiTuts. Obviously, you can find my weekly Eurovision Showcase shows here on the Trending Topics Network. Thank you very much.
Excellent. We will see you later.
We do, boys. Take care. Au revoir.
Bye. And on that note, the next match is where I'm up to on the card, guys. So I'm going to nip away from it while you chat about the rest of the card. And I've just realized I'd left this match on, so I've just given myself the result. But there you go. I know who wins this, but I don't know the details of how it goes down. So I'll leave you to discuss that. I'm going to go on mute. I'm not going to be listening. So if you can just let me know on our chat screen when you are done.
Okay. Righty then. So we have up next the men's 5-on-5 elimination Survivor Series match, which took place at Survivor Series on Sunday night. Adam, what was your thoughts on this match?
This was so good. This went for like nearly an hour and I loved every bit of it. Even though there were like gaping holes in the logic in some of the things, it was still amazing. Like Braun Strowman, just pull your foot out of James Ellsworth's arms. Like, how is he holding you down for that long?
I think it was the distraction of it. But let's go to the match. So it was Team SmackDown that would pick up the win here. And I was really, really happy with this match. I actually watched this because I watched the first sort of hour and a half of the main show, maybe the first hour of the main show, and then I went to sleep because I was getting tired. And I thought to myself, I don't really want to stay up and then wake up and see the ending. Because let's face it, if I'd have woken up and just seen the fireworks going off at the end of this week's show, at the end of the show, I'd have been really, really pissed off at myself for falling asleep.
Yeah.
So I went to sleep. I watched it with fresh eyes the next morning, but it did mean that I saw the timings for how long of the show was left. So when this started, there was maybe an hour and 20 minutes. And I was like, fuck, have they got something else in between? And then I went, well, maybe the main event's going longer than I thought. And yeah, it ended up going an hour and something long. Yeah, I was really, really happy with this. And what was some of the highlights from the match for you?
The Kevin Owens and the list was really good. The Shield reunion was weird. Like, did you see? The crowd popped for that.
They were booing Reigns the entire match, and then as soon as that happened, they were just completely behind him once again.
It was so good. Have you seen Raw yet?
I haven't seen Raw yet, so please don't spoil anything. But I am really, really happy with it to the point. So let's go through, actually, who eliminated who, because it was quite hard to keep up with at times. So there wasn't an elimination for the first 16 minutes. It actually ran 52 minutes and 55 seconds in all. So Dean Ambrose was the first person to be eliminated. He was eliminated by Braun Strowman. That was after AJ Styles basically didn't help him out. Then Braun Strowman was eliminated by count out because of James Ellsworth. I nearly said James Arthur. That'd have been strange. So,
it would have been.
But not impossible.
Anything can happen nowadays, Kyle. Nothing is impossible anymore.
Oh, there's some people who remember James Arthur's run on The X Factor who get that impossible joke. So then yeah. Kevin Owens was the next person eliminated by disqualification. Then Chris Jericho eliminated by Randy Orton. Shane McMahon eliminated. Let's talk about this moment. Shane McMahon's elimination. Amazing spot.
Such a good spot. But it's, you know when you see like big spots like that, but you've seen them before, and you know how they're done. I very rarely see a spot, and my initial reaction is, "Oh."
Yeah, I saw that, and then what happened here? Because I've been reading conflicting reports. Basically, in my opinion, it's that they hadn't Reigns hadn't pinned him correctly, so the two count. So actually, there was no count. Because his shoulders weren't on the ground, and that's why they did the whole injury angle. But there are reports saying that the referee thought that Shane was injured, and that's why he called for it.
Yeah, I think Roman messed up the pin.
And that's not us being on Roman Reigns, that's just, I think, what happened. And you know what, it was such a big spot, something like that is bound to happen.
Yeah, because you saw Orton at one point go out to Shane's kid and just go, he's fine.
That's really cool. I did actually see that. There's been a couple of mentions online about that. And I think that was... It shows that sometimes you've got to do that sort of stuff. It's just a shame that the camera caught him at that moment. I'm sure he'll be a little bit...
And he's a heel. Just not go up and be like, he's dead.
Oh, that would have been amazing. So let's look at... But that moment was
What do you and The Undertaker have in common? You got no daddy! And throw a sheet mask at him.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Let's move on. So AJ Styles was then eliminated by Seth Rollins via the triple powerbomb through the announce table, assisted by Ambrose and Reigns. Were you happy that Ambrose did this whole angle and went against SmackDown? And do you think there'll be any repercussions for him on tonight's show?
There are certainly going to be repercussions to him on tonight's show in the shape of The Undertaker. I'm calling that now, but The Undertaker comes out and just goes, you nearly cost us the match, boy. You must be a lunatic. I'll see you in hell, or something of that ilk. So there'll be consequences there. I think we're going to see AJ Bray Wyatt. I think they position Bray Wyatt really well for a main event match now.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you there. There are rumours out there that AJ Styles is going to be facing The Undertaker at Royal Rumble.
Ah, oh, you're not buying into the AJ Shawn Michaels hype train?
No, the rumour that I've heard, and I must state it is a rumour, is that we're going to go with AJ versus Undertaker at the Royal Rumble, and then that would for the WWE Championship, we would have The Undertaker take the WWE Championship and hold it up until WrestleMania, where he will drop it to John Cena, who will become the 16-time world champion.
That is a really, really good way to end WrestleMania, with stuff being thrown at the ring.
Oh, but if there is the, if there is the John Cena heel turn somewhere in that storyline, then that would be an amazing setup for John Cena to go into WrestleMania, become the 16-time world champion and leave as that heel that we've wanted him to be. I wouldn't give a shit about him beating The Undertaker and having the 16-time world championships if it meant he was a heel.
He has to cheat to do it then. He can't do it clean and get that kind of Roman Reigns, why are you still here? He has to get the genuine, oh my word, what have you done? What have you done, Heat?
I think that would be an amazing way to end WrestleMania, because if you're going to go off with boos, at least have it be that the guy that you wanted them to boo the guy. Right, yeah. Let's have a look at the end of this match. So Seth Rollins was then eliminated by Bray Wyatt, followed by Roman Reigns, eliminated by Bray Wyatt after Randy Orton took the spear from Roman Reigns. Where do you see this Orton-Wyatt feud going? Do you see it being that Orton is going to... Is Orton playing along? Is he actually in the trance? What do you see this from a character perspective?
I have no idea anymore. Because I thought it would be like when Daniel Bryan joined the Wyatt family. I thought this would be a fun 2 weeks of the boiler suits and losses. And then I'll just go straight back to business as usual. But it's going really well. I quite like Orton as part of the Wyatt. So I think it's really cool.
I like it too. I think that it's brilliant that you mentioned Daniel Bryan there, because that's exactly what I was about to say. I think this is the... Because we all know that the original storyline for Daniel Bryan for WrestleMania 30 was supposed to be possibly going longer with the Wyatt family storyline. But then obviously everything happened with, you know, the Yes movement and them wanting him in an event. And that's why they went with it only lasting 2 weeks. If this is to last till, say, WrestleMania, and then have the Orton-Wyatt WrestleMania match, I think I'd be quite interested, because by then you've got a solid storyline that's been built up between them.
And the Royal Rumble is always a good place to start those kind of fractures happening. We could have like Orton or eliminate Wyatt or the other way around. We could also have the same with potentially Owens and Jericho.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. Completely. So let's. So that match ended with Wyatt and Orton, the survivors for their team. Let's have a look at the pick sheet, because I've realised we're leaving Living Legend out for quite a while here. We haven't even got onto the main event. Luckily, it was a quick match. So we have... Most people went with Raw here, apart from me. I went with SmackDown. AA went with SmackDown. Mop went with SmackDown. And Biohazard went with SmackDown and put a +5 on it. I wish I'd have put a +5 on SmackDown winning this. But unfortunately,
you and me both, brother. You and me both.
But as you went with Raw, everyone else went with Raw. Legend actually lost a +3 on this for going with Raw, and Katie lost a +5. This was a really bad pay-per-view for Katie over on the WrestleCast. Normally, she's been doing really well over the last couple of months. So,
it wasn't great for me either. Where's like Katie gets sympathy, and I get mockery and scarred buggery. What's up with that? That's not Sharonism.
It's a hate crime, pure and simple. Let's move on to the main event of the Survivor Series show. I can take it or leave it. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, you know, we've already spent longer discussing this match than this match took by the time I finished this sentence.
Yeah.
No, I really, really like it. I think it's genius.
I want to tell a little bit of a story now, because I was, like I mentioned earlier, I was watching it on delay. I was watching it the next day, and I was quickly trying to mute my Facebook notifications as our European Uppercut group chat on Facebook. It sort of got brought up slightly because Legend said something about who's available for the show. He mentioned someone might be coming on as a guest, and you said, Adam, that it's a one-time deal then, just like Bill Goldberg's run. And that made me go, and I saw that there was 10 minutes left on the match, and I thought, fuck's sake, Adam's ruined this, it's a Lesnar squash match, I'm so pissed off. And then I get sat down to watch it, and I am not afraid to say that I just marked out completely.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
It was.
I did that very deliberately to mislead you all.
I just sat there and I went, I don't know what's going on. I was actually, my friend Becky, I was Snapchatting her at the time, and I was saying to her, because she's a big fan of the YouTuber Emma Blackery. I don't know whether you heard of her.
Yeah. Is this Becky who hates jumpers, Becky?
Yes, who hates jumpers, Becky, who... Okay. So she's there on Snapchat to me, and she said that she'd been looking on Emma Blackery's Twitter because she's a big wrestling fan, and she brought up and she said she keeps talking about Goldberg, and I was like, oh yeah, because Goldberg was wrestling last night, and I was basically Snapchatting her, me watching it going, Goldberg, Goldberg, and then I was like, it's never going to happen, he's going to lose, by the way, and then suddenly it happened, and I just sent her this like 15 Snapchats of the next 10 minutes going, that was amazing. I've got no idea what that is. I've got no idea what happened there, but that was amazing. I can't believe that's happened. I'm in shock. I don't know what to say. So, yeah, I got to admit, I marked out, and I'm glad someone else got to see it happen. And they ridiculed me completely.
Dude, like, the start of Raw, if you marked out, you're going to mark out like hell at the start of Raw.
Oh God, I've not seen it yet. I know one spoiler from it, and
what do you know?
I know that Goldberg is going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, okay, yeah. The way he announced it was just so good. It was so dope. Right.
I can't wait to see it. I'm really looking forward to watching Raw this evening, and it's an early kickoff to the WrestleMania season, so it's looking really, really good. Anything else to add about this match? Are you glad that it only went very, very quickly and that it was that squash match environment?
Well, I don't think Lesnar looks terrible in this. Everyone's just like, oh, you've ruined Lesnar. No, you haven't. Like, I like the sign. Remember the Goldberg? Did you see the Goldberg 2-0 sign that hark back to the old days?
The great thing is, as well, that I have read, and I must state that this is complete rumour right now, but the rumour is that this was Brock Lesnar's idea.
Yeah.
So that, to me, I have a hell of a lot more respect for someone like Lesnar if he's actually in the mindset now of, you know what, I can take a loss, because it just shocked everyone. And it's I was very, very happy with it, and I cannot wait to see where this goes. I've got to admit, this is the most shocked I've been in a very, very long time, probably.
Since Victory Road 2004, right?
Well, I was going to say WrestleMania 30, but when The Undertaker lost his streak.
Last time a main event went that short, Jeff Hardy's John Cena made a lot of money.
Oh, Jesus. Right, let's have a look at the sheet so we can let Living Legend back into the call.
Do we have to? Do we have to? Just say it.
So it's going to be quite obvious here. A lot of people lost a lot of points on this match. Only four people went with... Oh, no, one, two, three. Yeah, four people went with Goldberg. Biohazard, Old School, Hallmark, and we haven't told him this yet, Living Legend.
No.
Yes, and Living Legend...
Bloody hell.
He put a plus two on it.
Jesus, he must like a drink of an evening.
So let's have a look at who lost lots of points. Heavy Set lost 5 points on this, as did DRG, as did Carp, as did myself, as did Kiwi Tut, and Ceramic Samurai lost 2 points on it as well. Looking at some of the other bets that people put on throughout the show, Shane McMahon interferes in Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar was put on by Old School with a plus one, and he lost out to that. Kata went with Charlotte as the sole survivor, plus five, and he also lost to that. Adam, you put Lesnar attack Shane, plus two lost from you there, and Strowman gets eliminated after receiving the finishes of all active members of the SmackDown team, plus five from Hallmark. Unfortunately, you lost out on that one as well. So it's not been a great pay-per-view for you, has it, Adam?
It really hasn't. Brock Lesnar had a better Survivor Series than I did.
Oh, well, I will go through the points here and just say that because Legend actually had a minus three. Looking at the EU side here, Kata minus three, Legend minus three. I got a plus nine, GBL got a plus one, Adam, you had the worst there with a minus 11, Kiwi plus seven, PK plus one, and Hallmark plus nine. So myself and Hallmark were out there at the front for the EU side there, looking over it.
I did well on NXT. So I think over both shows, I'm still in the green. I think we're still positive.
Yeah, you did all right. You got pretty much centre score for NXT.
Okay, I should still be about fourth or fifth in that
overall.
You know
where you are overall? So overall, Adam, you are, let me have a look at the sheet. After your minus 11, you're on 122. Now, from me looking off the top of my head here, Old School is out in front in with 168.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm ahead for EU with 146.
Okay. Am I ahead of Andy Anderson?
Andy Anderson is on 137.
I'm on 142, right?
No, you're on 122.
Oh, Andy Anderson ahead of me. What happened there?
Unfortunately, Adam, you've fallen down the rankings. You're actually you're ahead of PK though, and you're just ahead of Carp and DRG as well. Your nearest competitor right now. Well, actually, Katie's lost out as well on that one. She's actually fallen behind you here. So you're doing quite well. You're doing quite well. Looking at the overall, WrestleCast have 974, EU have 876. So WrestleCast are quite far out ahead. However, we did have a few stragglers on at the end who are a little bit behind everyone else because of that.
Yeah, oh, I'm behind Andy. That's rubbish.
Yeah, well, there are still many, many pay-per-views to go until WrestleMania, but I think it's now time to let our host, Living Legend, into the call. Let's let's add him back in. Come on in, Legend.
So that there, guys, in a nutshell, is basically our weekend of wrestling. Let's move on with this show, shall we, and get into basically a report I've had sent in, which is basically a bit of a summary of what happened at ICW show at the weekend.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's your cell. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it three times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
Sunday night was ICW's Fear and Loathing 9 at the SSE Hydro in Glasgow. I was chatting to a guy on Twitter, his name is Cameron Phillips, and he promised me a nice report on the event. So let's just get into that right now. As promised, my thoughts on ICW's biggest show today, last night at the SSE Hydro in Glasgow. The arena looked fantastic. We had floor tickets, so we're standing for the show. Apparently capacity was around 8,000, but they announced the attendance as 6,200, which still seemed to come across well on the screens for people watching at home. There was still room on the floor towards the start of the seating area, so not too crushed. The seats above seemed pretty full. Billy Kirkwood had some good pops at WCPW and TNA in his opening segment. A sizeable Fuck TNA chant started. I think it's the first time ICW have had pyro for the start of the show. The setup continues to look really pro. Finn Balor got his WWE-style entrance. He mentioned his ICW roots and said he's enforcing tonight's card. He was received very warmly in Glasgow. On to the first match. And we've got David Blaze with the Wee Man against Joe Hendry. So Joe Hendry's Queen-inspired entrance was a thing to behold. His match versus David Blaze was a really good opener. Joe won and was therefore granted 5 minutes in the ring with the Wee Man. This seemed to just amount to one follow-up slam, but the crowd dug it. Next up was an ICW Women's Title three-way match. Carmella defends against Viper and Kaylee Ray. The women's triple threat started off as Snapmare City. Seriously, there was about seven of them. Credit to them for not resorting to the usual triple threat singles match with one person recovering outside and then rotate the format through. They upped gears towards the end though. A fantastic Tower of Doom spot followed by Kaylee Ray winning was well received. Carmella's retirement promo at the end seemed to jar with a heel character at first, but it was still a great moment. Next up, we've got a casket match, BT Gunn and Stevie Xavier. The casket match was really good. Nice to see Stevie Boy go over with assistance from Ray. I'm now wondering what will happen to BT Gunn. Following on from that, we've got the ICW Tag Team title match, Team 3D versus Polo Promotions, aka Jackie Polo and Mark Coffey. The tag title match was odd. The crowd was fairly split between the two teams. Bubba got on the mic saying this was going to be a fight and not a wrestling match. We didn't get a 3D nor any table breaks during the match. Polo Promotions' winning pinfall came quickly and out of nowhere, so the crowd were a bit stunned. Somebody needed to go through a table, so David Blaze came back down to get in Bubba's face. He got Bubba bombed through a table for his trouble. Whilst a fine effort, this match didn't live up to the huge billing. Next up was the ICW Zero-G title Stairway to Heaven match. Lionheart defends against Aaron Echo, Andy Wilde, Iceton Reese, Kenny Williams, Liam Thomas and Zach Gibson. Mick Foley appeared on the screen to put Kenny Williams in the Zero-G Stairway to Heaven match. Lionheart and Kenny have had a feud going for a while, so it made sense for them to be the last two. The latter portion of this match was brilliant, and Kenny's victory gained a huge response. I'm not sure why they couldn't have had just Kenny versus Lionheart in a normal ladder match in the first place. The other guys involved just seemed a bit like filler. Following on from that, we've got a singles match, Ricochet versus Lewis Gervin. This was my sleeper hit of the night, a brilliant back and forth between Ricochet's aerial arsenal, his dive to the front row was incredible, and Gervin's submissions. Gervin winning was a surprise hit, but a pleasant one. Next up, the ICW World Heavyweight Title Steel Cage match, Wolfgang defends against Trent Seven. This match had a big fight feel. The crowd were nuts for Trent, and Wolfgang entering on his motorcycle was brilliant. The match actually took a while to get in the cage as they brawled outside. This included setting up two tables. When it did officially start, it was a great battle. My problem was the finish. Trent and Wolfgang were both balancing on the top of the cage. Trent takes out brass knuckles and punches Wolfie so hard he falls off, goes through both tables and wins by hitting the floor first. They apparently said Trent was caught in the moment on commentary, but it made him look a bit foolish for my liking. Next up, some strange order of matches happened. It became apparent they were running close to curfew time. So we've got the ICW Ownership 8-man tag team match, Team Dallas, consisting of Chris Renfrew, DCT, Grado and Shaw Samuels with Mark Dallas, versus Team Black Label, Bram, Drew Galloway, Jack Jester and Kid Fight with Red Lightning. The 4-on-4 match for 100% control of ICW went up next. It was brilliant. Everybody in it put absolutely everything in, and Renfrew trying to battle both Galloway and Jester as Dallas screamed at him from ringside was wonderfully dramatic. As soon as Galloway started arguing with Jester, you knew something was up. Finn Balor walked down with an ICW shirt on, being handed the weapon by Jester and battering Galloway so Renfrew could get the winning pinfall was brilliant. Mark Dallas then finally get in to say, "You're fired," to Red Lightning, should have ended the show on a high. It seemed the perfect spot. But we still had one more match. And that match was a singles match between Joe Coffey and the man that is Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle was greeted with "You suck" chants, but the crowd cheered as soon as his music stopped. Joe Coffey brought his full-on power game in a technical battle. The crowd seemed spent after the team battle before, though. A few people even left during this match. After a decent match, Angle tapped to a Boston Crab, of all things. He put over Joe on the mic after and said he loved Scotland. He also said this wasn't the end for Angle versus Coffey, so we'll no doubt see more. Joe getting a win over Angle was big, but there was no title or history here, so it didn't feel like a main event. It felt like a bonus match at the end of the show due to what had come before. And although it was a good show, I'm getting tickets for Fear and Loathing 10 next year when they return to the Hydro. All the best, Cameron Phillips. Thank you very, very much for putting that together for us, Cameron. Very detailed. I really appreciate the time you put into doing that. If anyone wants to message him, you can catch him on Twitter at CrippleH.
This is Scotland's cheekiest wrestler here, Jason Reid, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that little report there on ICW's Fear and Loathing 9, but it's time to continue with this show. And this show has something that I haven't told the guys all about, and I'm going to tell them right now, because we're going to play...
Who am I?
Yes!
Oh...
Courtesy of our friend down in New Zealand, Cataclysmic, and I have to say, he's got some doozies in this one. Some doozies indeed. So, everybody knows the rules, but I'm going to go over them just to be clear. I have a list of 10 names of wrestlers. I have 4 clues for each. I will read each clue out one at a time. If you can guess who it is from the first clue, you get 4 points. If you can guess from the second clue, 3 points, and then 2, and then 1. If you don't get it, I pass it over to the opponent for a possible 1-point steal. A steal is only ever worth 1 point, even if you get it wrong after a 4-pointer. So we'll take it from there. And now, we'll toss a coin to see who goes first. Kai, as you're the shortest, you can make the call, heads or tails?
Heads.
And it's tails. Adam, do you want to go first or second?
I would very much like to go first.
Okay, pick a number 1 to 10.
I will go with 10.
Number 10, as we play...
Who am I?
I was born December the 12th, 1964, in Staten Island, New York.
What year, sorry?
1964.
So that's 53 in New York. Who has a sick New York accent? 19...
So I don't know where you get 53 from. That's strange maths you're doing.
What, 64?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1964. Oh, flip, yeah, I'm right, 53.
I'm counting 50. This is 2016.
Oh, okay, my bad. Okay.
I don't know what year you're in.
New York, whatever. So they're old. They're probably not on the active roster. Which means they're either in the Hall of Fame or dead. Next clue, please, mate.
For 3 points, I once wrestled Rey Mysterio that went to a no contest.
No contest? Another one, mate.
For 2 points, I'm a former ECW World Television Champion.
Oh, mate, I think I know it. Because he was in ECW to begin with, and that's a very obscure clue. Oh, mate, do I go for it or do I take the last clue? That's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Is incorrect.
Damn.
Now, for a possible steal for a point, Kai, do you want the last clue or do you think you know what it is?
Well, to be honest, I forgot that I'd steal it at the end, so I wasn't really paying attention, so I best take the last clue.
I'm known for my matches with barbed wire.
Damn
it.
Sabu.
Yep.
Correct for the 1 point steal. Good job there, Kai. Okay, 1 to 9. Which one would you like?
I will go with number 1.
Number 1. For 4 points, I was born March the 4th, 1986 in Rochester, New York.
86, so that would make them 30 years old.
Okay, for 3 points, I debuted for Ring of Honor in 2013.
Oh, fuck. Carry on. Why didn't I listen to Heavy Set more?
For 2 points, I've also wrestled for Shikara.
Fuck, I should have listened to Kat. Next one.
For 1 point, my gimmick is very flamboyant.
Oh, God, I should know this. This is for 1 point.
Yeah.
The only name that's popping into my head is Mike Bennett.
No. That'd be very wrong. So I'm going to pass it over Adam for the steal.
I have no idea. Kenny Omega.
Wrong. And it's too late, Kai, but have you worked it out?
Is he currently in WWE?
No,
it's not then.
It's no point on that one. It's Dalton Castle. Okay, Adam, number 2 to 9.
I'll go with number 2.
Number 2. I was born April 15th, 1978 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Not a clue, mate.
Okay, for 3 points, I'm a vegan.
Bloody hell.
He made these quite tough, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I know. And the only vegan I know isn't from there.
All that's really telling you is it's a wrestler that you hate.
Yeah.
You want to because he's up. A vegan.
Yeah. Another two, mate.
Because he's from Milwaukee.
2 points. I married a former TNA knockout.
Vegan. Bloody hell. No, because he's British, isn't he? Flip, this is really hard. Last two.
I wear a cape to the ring.
Neville.
Wrong. No, for the steel.
What the hell? No, I know who it is. Damn it.
Don't. No. Kai, for the steel for 1 point.
It's... What year did you say it was born?
78.
Oh, fuck.
Damn it.
I'm sorry, I have not got a clue.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Is it Austin Aries?
Don't tell him.
Is it Austin Aries?
It's Austin Aries.
Yeah.
No points on that one either. Okay, Kai, 3 to 9.
Let's go with number 7.
Number 7. Could it be a lucky 7 as we continue?
Who am I?
I was born January 28th, 1975 in Dayton, Ohio.
25, right. It's in Ohio. So it's 46. Carry on.
I need to look into the story for this next one because I didn't know about this. In 2005, I sued Miramax Films.
Trying to think of wrestlers that Heavy Set might like.
Heavy Set's got a fair few mentions in this game.
I know, yeah. Carry on.
For 2 points, I'm known for my work in TNA.
Oh, fuck this then. I hate you, Catter.
You going for the 1 point?
Yeah, carry on.
For 1 point, my gimmick is imitating a famous Texan wrestler.
Oh, is it? Oh! Oh, what's his name?
I got it.
I know exactly who it is. I just
got it wrong. Come on, put a clock on him.
I can't. Oh fuck! It's the
No, it's not him.
I can't remember his name.
I'm going to have to hurry you.
If it's not this guy, then I'll be even more pissed off. It's the guy who says. Oh no, because I know Adam knows it. It's the guy who goes Shell Yeah.
Shell Yeah.
but I can't remember.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm going to kick myself. I can't remember. Well, at least it proves I don't cheat.
Adam for the steal.
Shark boy.
Oh,
Shark boy.
I had fish guy in my head.
Fish guy. Yeah, fish guy. He's great. He's my favourite. Okay, Adam, back to you.
That's my pet name for my penis.
Well, we've got a show name now.
Oh, Damien, let's move on. Adam, pick a number 3 to 6, 8 or 9.
We're going 9.
Okay. So I'm just writing something down. Okay, number nine. I was born September 19th, 1985 in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
So you're the same age as me. So 31. Who on the roster looks my age? Next two.
I debuted in the WWE in 2012.
One more clue.
I'm a former NXT commentator.
Brenna Young.
Correct for 2 points. Okay, Kai, you're on the chase now. It's official. Pick a number 2 to 6 or 8.
I will go with number 8.
Okay. Number 8. I was born November 18th, 1976 in Higashino, Yamagata, Japan.
Fucking hate you, Kat. What year, sorry?
1976.
So that would make it... makes him
almost as old as me.
So 50...
wow.
Right, carry on.
For 3 points, I currently wrestle in New Japan.
Oh, fuck me. Right, next one. I always start these quizzes feeling really fucking smart. Oh, look, I got Sabu.
For 2 points, yeah?
Yeah, carry on.
For 2 points, in November 2015, I was accused of domestic violence.
Oh, okay. I've still not got a clue. So we'll go on to the next one.
For 1 point, I have a very deep, hoarse voice as a result of crushed vocal cords. Right now, Kat is pissing himself.
I'm not going to lie. Like, with the last couple of ones, I've had a sort of clue. You know, I was quite close with Fish Guy. at least I knew the catchphrase. This one, I honestly... haven't got a clue. And I know Katter is loving this. I haven't got a clue. Pass it over to Adam.
Adam, for 1 point, have you any idea?
I got no idea.
Any idea? No idea? No.
It's Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory. Like, I got no idea.
The correct answer is Tomoaki Honma.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of him. I've absolutely Honma. Heard of him.
Oh, dearie me. Right, okay, we have got 4 left. Numbers 3, 4, 5, and 6. Adam, it's over to you.
I'll go with 3.
Number 3, I was born November the 10th, 1981 in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Who's from Las Vegas, Nevada? Let's think. Okay, I've got a rough idea because he gets announced from there. But I'm going to get one more clue just to confirm it.
I have a podcast.
I could be fucking anyone, couldn't it? Like,
well, it's obviously Finn Fish.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No. Oh, Ryback.
Correct for 3 points. Oh, Kai. A lot of work to do now, Kai.
Balls. Right.
No, it's not Mahoney. Pick a number 4, 5, or 6.
Go number 5.
Number 5. Okie dokie. We continue to play.
I
was born January the 1st, 1944 in Jackson, Mississippi.
Carry on.
For 3 points, I was in a band in the 1960s.
Carry on.
For 2 points, I'm a manager.
Come on, Kai. You know this. You know this, baby!
Go on, Kai.
Carry on.
You can do it. For 1 point.
I as good as told you the answer.
He did. Basically, gave it away. I carry a megaphone.
Yeah, but the problem is, Adam, that your impression of the answer, which is Jimmy Hart, sounded incredibly like Paul Bearer.
Jimmy Hart, like Paul Bearer, was well renowned for saying, "You know this, baby."
Oh, dearie me. Right, okay, it's not over yet. The fat lady has not yet opened up her vocal cords. Kai, if you can steal this from Adam and then get at least 3 points or get 4 points on yours, you can still be in with a chance of a win here. Adam, 4 or 6?
We'll go with 4.
I was born December the 10th, 1979 in Clinton, Iowa.
Who the fuck was in Iowa? You know what? I am confident I have done enough. I hereby forfeit this question to Kai.
Right, Kai. There's a chance of stealing this for a point, okay?
Okay.
For the first clue, the peak of my career came in TNA.
Right.
I'm a former 2-time TNA X Division champion. And there's one more clue you can have.
Okay.
I'm Shawn Michaels' cousin.
I am... Honestly, am I a bad wrestling fan, or did I not know that Shawn Michaels had a cousin that was a wrestler?
I have to say, he's not been in TNA for quite some time.
Billy Corgan.
And his name's... When you hear his name, you'd be like, that's really his wrestling name?
Is it Hinkenbottom?
No.
Is this a guy that I will have heard of?
I'm guessing no.
What the fuck is it in the questions, Canna?
Because you might have known it. Some people would know it if they watched TNA back a number of years ago, probably 2008 or something. So.
Kata, I do not have a clue. I apologise. Well, I would apologise if the questions weren't shit.
Right, you're still not out of this game yet, though, right? Okay, I'll give you the answer. It's Michael Shane. Which is almost like Shawn Michaels swapped around.
That's just stupid.
But it's true. It's true is the most important part of that. Right, okay, Kai. Coming to you for the last question in...
Who am I?
So question number 6. I was born November the 21st, 1983 in San Diego, California. Now, it is worth going all out here if you want to save your position in this game.
1983 in San Diego, California. Now, I can only think of one person, and to be honest, he wasn't born in 1983.
Okay, well, let's just
go through
the motions.
I'm going to throw you a bone here.
You know this one, Adam.
I'm going to throw you a bone. No, I've looked it up because I quite like watching you struggle. There are two possible answers here
of
people born on that day. Yep. Only one of them is right.
And the Italians would say, very good.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm just...
Okay, it's one of the betters. There we go.
You've got 50 for 4 points.
Oh, God. This is getting their own back. I remember last time I made the quiz. I put Jey Uso in there and Adam got it and you kicked off.
One of the better guy. 50-50 shot.
Don't you have a fucking... One of you guys is going to get up to a sick child and one of you is going to go present a TV show. Let's just fucking leave it. It's Brie Bella.
For 4 points is correct.
Yay!
Right, that means we're on to the tiebreaker, though, Adam.
Oh, fuck.
Right, so I've got a stat here. I'm going to read out the details, and then I want you to give me an answer. And I'll go to Adam first, and then Kai, and whoever is closest gets the win. It's that simple.
Okay.
And I need quick, straightforward answers, no messing about. According to preliminary figures published in April, how many traditional pay-per-view purchases were made of the Royal Rumble for 2016? And I want your answer to the nearest 1,000, Adam.
27,000.
Kai.
What year was this?
This year. How many actual pay-per-view buys did they get?
32,000.
Adam's saying 27, Kai's saying 32. Kai wins with the nearest answer, as it was actually 91,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think Royal Rumble is one of those that still gets the pay-per-view buys.
Yeah, but it shows you how many people are stupid.
Stupid.
Exactly. Oh, dear me.
You stupid idiot!
I am shocked and appalled in equal measure.
But that was another game of... And for a change, Kai gets a win, only because Adam was extremely generous and gave him the four-point question.
Oh, God. That was...
Well done, Kai.
That was horrific. That felt like James Ellsworth getting a win over AJ Styles.
With the help of Dean Ambrose. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It was a complete handicap win. Okay, we're...
Oh, why is it handicapped?
I'm using golf terminology here. No need to go that way, Adam. I don't know what kind of show you think this is, but we don't play that game on this show. All right. No response, I win.
That's on Scotland one Sunday night.
This is a honky-tonk man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network. I'm just a honky-tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm
Right, it's time to move into final thoughts for this week. Time to start rounding off this show, as we always do. Going to come to you, Adam. Any last wrestling topics you would like to bring up on this show?
I really enjoyed Survivor Series. I can't say why I enjoyed it so much because you're here. But it's dude, like, seriously, yeah.
I tell you what,
trying to go home.
I am impressed that you've actually got to this point without getting spoiled by anything.
Yeah.
To be honest,
I'm very impressed, although I do kind of know one detail about the match that I've started watching. I need to finish watching, but I don't know quite how it goes down, so I'm quite curious.
And that kind of one detail is that you know the result.
Yeah. But I don't know how it goes down, so that I still have plenty to watch to make it entertaining, and I've heard it's a very good match anyway, so I'm okay with that.
That men's 5-on-5 yes. elimination match is possibly, well, it's definitely, in my opinion, a match of the year candidate.
Honestly, I had no idea Andre the Giant was going to come down to make that happen. It's bizarre. It caught me off guard. Anyway, I have no clue. What were you going to say there?
I said, when did you read the results?
Oh, we're chatting just a minute ago. So anything else on that, Adam, before we move on to Kai's?
I am very, very excited for SmackDown tonight.
Oh, right, intriguing. Okay. See that? You just got me even more intrigued and more excited to watch what's left of it. That was a good one. Good play. Well played.
I know. I'm trying to get as close to spoiling it for you as I can without actually spoiling it for you.
There's a word for people like you, prick. Kai.
Oh, no, you didn't. You got 3 seconds to apologise.
I apologise. That was uncalled for. I do take that back.
Here we go.
Kai.
I've really, really enjoyed this week of wrestling. This weekend has been absolutely fantastic. The last couple of weeks I've been so busy that I've sort of been... It's felt a little bit more like, I've got to keep up with wrestling. But I think after this weekend, I'm really back into it now. I'm loving it. And I cannot wait for this, what seems to be a very early start to the kickoff to the road to WrestleMania. WrestleMania, which seems like we're kicking it off early this year with all the build-up that's going on. I hope that everything keeps going and is absolutely amazing over the next couple of weeks. Maybe I'm putting too much faith in the WWE here, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Good, good, good. And my final thought for this week's Nation Straightforward. I am so glad we actually got a proper panel back for this show. We've had so many two-man shows for the last while, and it just shows you how busy we've all been. I can't stress how much I've missed having a proper banter with a lot of you on together. You're not saying that any of the last shows have been bad in any which way, not at all. That's not my point. My point is it's just good to have the crack together when we're all on, and I missed that last few weeks. So it's great to be back on board with everyone on. Hopefully we can get more of these going down between now and the end of the year. But I know we've all got busy schedules as it stands. So fingers crossed for that. Time to start saying goodbyes, guys, and telling the lovely people at home where they can find you. You're going to start with Adam Pearson.
You can find me on Twitter at Adam_Pearson, on the old Instagram at Adam_Pearson_TV. You can find my BBC Three talk show with my mum, Adam Pearson Home Truths, on the BBC Three YouTube page. Not Andy Pearson, it says at the end of the advert on their Facebook page. I got that wrong. That's being changed. I sent an email. You can also see me in Trip to the Restaurant Trade, ruining sushi for everyone on 4OD. And hopefully soon you'll hear about my new show that I might be able to plug after tomorrow.
Oh, there's a tease.
I tell you what, the best review I've had of that I've heard of Tricks of the Restaurant Trade was when I was sat there watching it with my co-host Maisie, and she turned around and went, she says, I really want to watch the Restaurant Trade because I love Adam, but he just ruins all this fucking food for me.
My favourite review I read was on the Daily Mail. Have you seen it, Kai?
No, I haven't.
One of the our female presenter, Kate Quilton, the Daily Mail referred to her as Kate, looks like she cuts her own hair, Quilton. And I was like, that's a bit mean.
Oh dear. But that's all sounding very good, Adam. Lots going on there. Good to hear. And do check those out, everyone at home. Kai, your goodbyes and where we can find you and more plugs.
See you later, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at KaiJValentine. You can find my radio show Squabble Box on Siren 107.3 FM every Sunday breakfast, 8 till 10 a.m. And you can find Legends on Siren FM, where this week we paid tribute to the Rolling Stones again. And due to someone dropping out, my live guest dropping out 2 hours before the show, I quickly learnt a song and sang it, which you can hear that I know a couple of people watched on the Facebook live stream. Thank you very much for your comments. But you can hear the proper version where the actual instrumental is playing, which went out on the radio on the Trending Topics Network right now.
You may or may not get to hear that after this show.
Oh, fuck you.
You may or may not. I'm not saying. Anyway, you can catch me on Twitter at LivingLegend148. Please do give me a shout. It'd be good to hear from everyone at home. You can get in touch with the show, and we've not been doing these plugs this week, but we're going to do them right now. You can get in touch with us in many different ways, including on Facebook, facebook.com/EuropeanUppercutPodcast. You can get us on Twitter at TheEUPod. Or, of course, you can email us, eurouppercut@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from each and every one of you. Do get in touch. We miss a lot of the emails into the show. I do know that by the fact we recorded a day early that we may have missed opportunities for emails, but I did put a couple of tweets out and nobody responded. You heard me at home. But do also check out the other shows right here on the Trending Topics Network, the Wrestlecast, CFL Easy Picks, NFL Easy Picks, Eurovision Showcase, Legends of Kai Valentine, What's on Fight, the Spanish Announce Table, One Up Club, Heads Up, Tuts Experience, which is apparently allegedly coming back soon, Lou Chat, Squabble Box, All Beer Inside, Anything Goes, and I think that's everything. Do join us next week for episode 113 of the European Uppercut Podcast. Until then, the living legend has now left the building.
Oh man! God, mother of all European uppercuts!